Good decision there, Jerry, not to buy your cell phone yet. Wait till CSUN and join the session that Sendero is going to be hosting on with Talks and the different types of cell phones that Nokia has that is running Talks. So really, really cool. And we're even going to have, I think we're going to have someone from Code Factory there as well. So should be pretty cool. Should be a really good year this year at CSUN, I believe.
Well, I know the VA have approved to buy the Talk or the Code Factory product, and the phone that comes. I got your email, so I'm very interested on the GPS thing, because I think if it look real promising. I think that could be a possibility, and that could be a purchase item for prosthetic to try to get the BVA to get that approved, because they're working on getting certain type of phone approved right now as it is. And one of them is a jitterbug that have a one button touch for people that need a phone like that. It's one touch button phone, but with the GPS navigation system, that would even be awesome, and that can really open the door up right there. And I know the Brno and the other product is good too.
Yeah, so let me just give you what Sendero is going to be doing at CSUN this year. Here's our schedule of events. There's the Buy a Feature session Thursday, March the 22nd from 9 to 11. And then there's going to be GPS limo tours on Thursday from 1 through 5 p.m. and Friday 1 through 4 p.m. And then we have GPS training sessions Friday from 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock in the morning. And then there's going to be the Talks and Nokia phones and meet the experts Thursday between 2 and 3. So there's going to be a 2 o'clock and a 3 o'clock a session, and Friday at 2 and 3 as well. And I guess you can even have your phone updated there, so that's kind of cool. And Friday morning at 8 a.m., highlights of the five-year wayfinding project, and Mike and myself and Paul and Nicholas will be presenting there. So there will be a sign-up sheet on the Sendero website, I think, tomorrow, and if not tomorrow, the next day. So you'll be able to sign up for any one of these sessions and get your spot, because spots are limited.
And what you just mentioned too, Shaw, where you have this on the site, the appointment time so I can upload it.
It'll be a form, and you can, yeah, you'll be able to look at it and then fill out the form and submit it, and an email will go sent to Sendero, so that'll reserve your spot in any one of these sessions.
Oh, so you register online for the buy feature as well, if you're going to be doing online thing versus actually being a CSUN?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll talk to our web developer on that one and see if, yeah, I believe it wouldn't matter, but we may want to specify on here if you're going to be there in person or online. So that's a good point. I will send Kim a message on that so that you can specify if you're going to be online for that, or you'll be there in person. So, good point. Thank you. So, Chris, what's the topic today?
Topic today is CSUN. No, actually, the topic today is using the address lookup functionality of the GPS. How many of us know how to use it? How many of us actually understand it?
Well, I'd like to hear how people use it, or explain using it, because that gives me some insight. So I'm going to put Elaine on the spot. Elaine, can you do me the honors and explain how to do address lookup for us?
Yikes. All right. I don't know how to shut my jaws off here, but
You made it run away.
Man, the pressure was just too much, I guess.
We put it on the spot there.
Man, I better stop doing that. Pretty soon the whole chat room will be empty. Yikes. I'm sure she just hit the wrong key. Yeah, that's not good. And do we have a new person here?
Try putting Kevin on the spot and see if it happens twice in a row.
Okay, I'm sure Kevin can handle the pressure, though. Actually, what we need to do is just reduce your volume on your microphone a little bit, Kevin, because it's a little bit overpowering. Your P's are popping.
I know how to get rid of Charles. I just talked to Paul a half hour ago and asked him to come on in.
Oh, man. No. Hey, we take our criticism, that's fine. You know, the product's not perfect, and we don't claim it to be. And when people find bugs in it, you know, hey, we'll fix them and you know, makes everyone that much better moving forward. You know, we can't become the Cadillac of GPS. You know, when we have some transmission problems, so we need to fix those bugs and you know. 4.0 is going to be amazing, folks. Just want to let you know that. That's not trying to bias anyone or trying to hint at anything, but it's really, really cool. Yeah.
I'm back. I don't know what I missed. Sorry about that.
Everyone was like, Charles, you scared her off. You put her on the spot, and she just ran away.
Well, that's true, too, but I really didn't run. Do you still want me to tell you about the address book, how I use it?
I thought you gave an excellent presentation.
Please do.
Well, I love it. Basically, obviously, you have to have the right maps loaded. And then you, with the Braille note, you do A for address. It asks you for, might first ask you for the state, and then the city, and then the street, and then the street number. And one of the tricks, of course, is with the street to put in as little as is necessary. For example, in my town, there are two streets that start with the name Lincoln. And I just put in Lincoln and then arrow to the one that I want because I can't always remember specifically how the avenue or the terrace or the boulevard is abbreviated. So to me, it's easier to put in at that point as little as possible. But I use the address book extensively. We have a lot of little streets around here that I never even knew existed, trying to figure out where some of my students live and so on. I just use it all the time to orient myself to the city that I've lived in for years but really didn't know as much about as I now do.
Very cool. And just one note, A will give you your current address, and it's space S or control S to actually do the address lookup. But other than that, you are golden.
I apologize. Of course you're right. I'm sorry. Maybe I should run away.
No, you did good. You did good. What are some other tricks of the trade, folks? Let's do... Jim, do you know of any tricks doing address lookup?
Charles, were you talking to me? I was doing something, and I think I heard my name.
Yeah, sorry. I was just asking you if you knew any tricks on address lookup. And if you don't, that's fine. I'll try someone else.
No, what I use, what I like, when, and I think the 4.0 is going to have it, is the area code, the zip code. And that, most of the time I know that. And I like to go straight to Dad and make it very simple.
So, okay, run me through how that would work, just to clarify how you guys want it, actually, because I don't want to do something that you guys don't really want.
Well, like, what I would do is I would look up for the state, then the city, the zip code, and then, let's say, entertainment. And I want to go to a movie, then not even know the address, and it will give me a entertainment in that a movie in that area, in that township that I'm going to.
Uh-huh, that's interesting. Well, in that situation, you wouldn't have to do the state or the city. The zip code would already provide all of that information. So you would just put in the, right?
That is correct. In other words, on my cell phone, I put in Pizza Hut zip code, the zip code, and it gives me the Pizza Hut in that zip code, and usually three or four of them, and bingo, I got what I want.
Okay. Chris, can you correct me if I'm wrong? Isn't there zip codes in the POI extended data? And couldn't you just do a search on the zip code, doing a POI find, and it'll do the same thing?
Yes, you can.
Right. So, Jim, you can do that already, buddy. All you do is do a cord F, space F, control F, however you do it, advanced find. Select your radius. Not exactly. You'd have to virtually go to the place that you want or be in the city that you want. But if you put your radius far enough, say 30, 40 miles or something like that, as long as that zip code is within that 40 miles, then you just type in the zip code as your search parameter and specify the category of restaurant, and then you would type in the zip code as your search string. You should be able to find all restaurants that are within that zip code.
I'm doing it now.
Cool. And, if we, as part of the buy a feature, there's also the ability to buy the subcategory, which was presented last week, I believe, by Kevin wanted the ability to search subcategories. If we put that in, then you'll also be able to not only do restaurant, but also be able to do like pizza as the subcategory, and then type in that zip code, and then only pizza places will show up in that zip code. So pretty powerful already.
And of course, that'll probably be one of the features I'll be putting my placing my buy on.
Yep, I got a Pizza Hut. I'm calling them now. No, I'm not. Yes, I did get a Pizza Hut.
All right, so it works. So there you go. See, you learn something new when you come to these chat sessions. It's awesome.
Well, that's what we're here for.
Oh, could you just review that sequence again? You do the find command, and just go over that again, how you would use the zip code, please.
No problem. All right, what you would do is use the find command, and you would specify a distance that, you know, would include the zip code that you're looking for. So, like, if you're looking for a zip code that you know is in a neighboring city, you'd say something like 0 to 15 or 20 miles, right? And then you would pick the category of restaurant or whatever you were planning on looking for, like a shop or entertainment or whatever, and you'd pick that category. And then when it asks you for the search string, instead of typing in the name of the place that you were looking for, you would type in its zip code. And therefore, it'll search not only the names of points of interest, but it also searches the details. And when it finds that zip code, it will add that to the results. So that's how you would find points of interest that are within that zip code that meet that category and that are within that distance of your search string that you're looking for.
That is most elegant. That is great.
It's pretty neat. I guess we never really thought of it using it that way. I knew that, and to go that one step further, you could, if you want a specific street that you know that a point of interest is on, you can type in the street name, and it'll find all points of interest on that street, too. So that's a kind of cool thing as well. So it's really powerful in that sense. That's kind of cool. Anyone else want to comment on that?
I actually find it nice to myself. I've been using it for a while, just finding different places that are within their zip code or street, and so I don't go out of my way so much finding a particular place.
Most definitely. So, Jim, getting back to your zip code issue, I still want to know how you would use it in an address lookup. If you have an example, how you would want the system to behave when doing trying to get to a specific address using zip code? Would you use it that way, or is the way that you described how you'd want to use zip code? And since we already have that, that's already addressed. I guess we lost Jim. Okay. Oh, we got a whole bunch of people calling. Just a second.
Can I answer that my own way?
Go ahead, Jerry.
There's a lot of ways, I think there is. My other way I would use it, like, I'm sitting here with my GPS open right now, getting receiving six satellite. Well, if I want to go somewhere else, I do a control S and then put in my all the stuff that I want for that address, and then I also then I would do a destination and then do a route command, vehicle or pedestrian. Do it that way. Or the other way, I do a control F and do a points of interest and do there. I think you do a control V once you find what you're looking for. And then do a R and then a root command, I think, and then a vehicle or pedestrian. It's the second way of working with the address or a point of interest location.
Jerry, if you wanted to set your point of interest as your destination, you do control D. Control V would set the point of interest as your virtual position.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, you're right. Okay, control D. Thanks for that correction.
It was actually nice today because I was taking a friend home, or it was me and another person taking a friend home, and we were in the Santa Clara Marriott in Santa Clara, of course, but we were there for the CTE Beach Conference, and we were trying to go from there to the Living Skills Center in San Pablo, and for some odd reason, we set the point of interest as our destination, and started creating a vehicle route, but the route wouldn't want to be created for some odd reason. So instead of trying to use point of interest, instead I used the address, which got us there without a problem at all. So it's another sort of workaround. If you're trying to set a destination by point of interest and that doesn't work, you can try the address lookup.
Yeah, there's some issues that sometimes when a point of interest might not be right near a road and therefore can't create a route there, and there's could be even an issue that if the point of interest is really near some other feature that's unnavigable, like a railroad or just a street that you can't travel to, that could be some issues. So that's great that you came up with a workaround for that, Kevin.
Well, I was real surprised the other day when I went to find the Claim Jumper restaurant in Roseville. And it's been there for at least 6 years. It wasn't even in the database. And so I ended up having to use my cell phone to find out exactly where they were. But I found that kind of interesting because things that I know that are newer are in there.
Yeah, and it's all dependent on where the map company gets their data from and where they get their data from. So maybe they get it, you know, I can't speculate on where they're getting their data, but if for some reason that Claim Jumper restaurant wasn't advertising in the same place that they got their data from, like Yellow Pages or wherever, that's why it wasn't in there, and who knows what the issue is. So some that are old are not in there, and some that are brand new are in there, and it's a real, you know, roll the dice, and you never know what's going to be in the data or not, and you know, so there's no real guarantee that something that's been there forever is going to be in the database. We have no control over that, and all we can do is, and I believe that the latest version from TeleAtlas, their website for announcing or for detecting problems or for users to provide feedback actually has that a point of interest category. So you can actually say that this point of interest is wrong or needs to be updated. Either it doesn't exist anymore or it does exist and it's existed for years, and to provide that information. So that is definitely coming.
So, question. The one person that has a problem in the Diana area, he told me he'd swear up and down that that map is 10 years old for that area. He said that certain street, he'd check it over and over. He said, I lived there for a long time. And he said, it haven't existed in 10 years or something like that. I don't know. I'm not defending or anything there. I'm just curious. Do you think that possibly that when you get some of these maps, that the company that you get the map from, they're not completely upgraded completely, and they are using some old map, maybe add some new features, but still working with old data?
Absolutely. The thing is that they get the original data from the city. If the city planner put in that data incorrectly to begin with, then that's the data they use. I'm sorry, my daughter's screaming right now. Well, just
Charles, what are you doing to that child?
Nice thing with your mark points of interest as well, especially if either businesses aren't there or if they're has been a newer business that's replaced that location, you can mark that point of interest as a user point of interest, and then you can submit it to Mike, and he'll put it into the collective point of interest, so we can all benefit from that.
Well, I didn't have my Braille note with me when I went there. I was trying to find it at home. When I went to Claim Jumper, I was trying to find it to make a route to tell my friend how to get there to go to lunch, but I couldn't find it. I mean, I knew where kind of it was, but not exactly the street. So I ended up calling them and got their address. And so then I put the address into the search string for the address lookup, and then I went to make it a point of interest, and it said, you know, to give it a name. So I gave it the name for Claim Jumper, but I have the address, but I don't have, you know, the exact point where I went to the place with the Braille note and said, here it is.
Well, what you should do is actually record a point of interest there, and then send that to us, you know, Sendero, and we'll include that in our user points of interest so that other people could use that as well. You can use what you did, you know, the address, but that's interpolated and it's not going to be the exact position. So actually going there and recording a point of interest is probably better in that situation. And Julia just woke up, so that's why she's crying. Oh, honey.
Well, next time I go, I'll take my Braille note with me and I'll do that.
So if somebody is going to record a point of interest in the manner that you suggested, what is a good number of satellites to have active so that you know that you're getting a good true recording of that point?
Look at the quality, not necessarily the number of satellites. You can have 5 satellites and they can be poor, and you can have 4 satellites and they can be very good, or not very good, but good, which the good would be better, a better accuracy than the poor.
But we also give you the actual accuracy number in feet, and that's really the number you should be looking at.
Basically, the lower the number of feet you have, the more better.
You wouldn't want to record it at 1,082 feet or whatever it says sometimes.
I got to go back to Sue's POI, the other Sue's POI, though. Since she knows the address, can't she virtually create a POI and submit that? You don't have to be there in live mode, right?
Yeah, they're both possible, but with actually going there and being at the front door and marking that point of interest, you're making it so it's under, let's say, 30 feet of accuracy versus the map error plus the satellite error. So it's actually going there marking it more accurate than going there virtually.
I do have a question when Sue is done. Okay, I get you here. I think, Charles and Chris, what I was doing is if my virtual position, let's take my house, and I want to do an address lookup, and we're going to go someplace in Los Angeles. I'm going to have to change my destination to Los Angeles or my virtual in order to get an address. So, for an example, I wanted a movie theater in Los Angeles and go there. I don't know the address, but I know it's a Hollywood. Go to Hollywood Man's Chinese Theater and click on that, you know, at a point of interest, doing it. A search, you're going to have to go out of your virtual position and go to Hollywood in order to do a point of interest search.
You try setting yourself virtually in anywhere in LA and searching for what you're looking for that way, so you can narrow your parameters instead of searching from, let's say, San Francisco, which is over 400 miles away.
Yeah, I think the way Charles was saying it is that you increase your point of search, like Hollywood is probably 20 miles from the house, so if I do a 18 to 30 mile range search for a man Chinese theater, then I would get it, and then I can set that as a destination. But and I think that's what he was saying, but that's only because you have to have some idea. But if you were in San Francisco and you have no idea where it is, your task is going to be a little different.
Yeah, if you're in San Francisco or something like that, you can just set yourself virtually in L.A. and just pick the first street and pick the first intersection and search, let's say, up to 50 miles or so, and select your category, of course, and then just type in the zip code, and you'll land on it that way.
Yeah, you have to do more looking for something on this GPS than you would on any other. There's more you would have to do to get the information you're doing in the yellow.
I don't see any other way of going around that at all. I don't see, I think that's how I would be doing it, Jimmy, is if it's, I'd say, probably 20 to 30 miles, I may put it 18 to 35 miles and put the name of that place you're looking for, and then hopefully find it, and then well, there might be a ton of them, and then you have to down arrow and think this is the one you might want, and then wherever you are at, you can create that route from there.
That's interesting, though. You're kind of right, though, Jim, as far as when you put in a zip code, we shouldn't have to specify the start and in distance, that it should just look out and find all of those points in that zip code. And we may be able to do that in the future. Actually, there's a project right now that we're thinking about doing that will enable us to do just that information without regard to how far away it is. So stay tuned on that.
What about some sort of feature where you can set a zip code as your virtual position?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you hit California and then your zip code, because most of the time it's going to ask you for a street name or a cross street. I have no clue if it's 13th Street or anything. I just hit anything, then I come up with a wild number.
Right. So, okay. So you're just trying to get into that zip code. What about if you're just trying to get into a city? Would you like a feature that, you know, you just put in the California and pick San Francisco, and then we pick what street automatically for you, like a main street or a first street or something like that, and just put you on that? Is that something that you'd want?
Well, yeah, 'cause then if you, let's say, the central location, Hollywood, you know, you take the center of Hollywood, or you take Los Angeles, the center of Los Angeles, and you can put 5, maybe even 10 miles, and you're going to get everything in that Los Angeles area. San Francisco, I think Kevin is up north, so type in San Francisco. But if you know the zip code, it's quicker to type in the zip code and let it go from there.
That's actually true in a way, if you can just type like the state and the city and then somehow do like a space with B or some sort of command, and just based on those, the state and the city, you can set yourself virtually there and search around.
Yeah, well, even if you did San Francisco and you do it short, you do S-A-N and hit it, you get San Jose, San Francisco, San Fernando. You get a lot of So if you know the zip code, bingo, you're gone.
Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. Actually, a couple of the buy a feature ones that's going to be in the list deal with this point. And one is, you know, once you pick the city, that you can just go there and it'll pick the right street. And then also, if you just pick a state, there's a feature, buy a feature that will automatically go to the capital of that state and put you there on in the capital. So that's also something that we're that you guys can vote on.
But, matter of fact, we were in Albuquerque, and we were at a restaurant, and a question came up on a topic that there's only three of this restaurant around, and one of them happened to be in San Francisco and the other one in Los Angeles. And so I did type in the name of the restaurant and put San Francisco. Bingo. It gave me the address, get there, and all that. I mean, real quick, where if I use the bulletin notes, it would take me a lot. There's more you would have to do than you did on the text message.
I got to step out of here. Dinner is ready. Like when I'm done, you guys here, I'll be back in. Otherwise, see you next week.
All right, Jerry, I just wanted to say also that, the maps that the map company doesn't go every year around to every single city and update its maps. It's done in a logical progression, and so that's why you could, you know, your city may not get updated for a number of years before TelAtlas actually gets there and updates. So there's issues there that we're working with our map company on, and so that's why you could get maps that are really outdated, and a new subdivision 3, 4, 5 years old may not still be in the system. But that's why we have the ability to send them this now feedback and say that this has been here for X number of years and this should be fixed, and then they'll make it a top priority to for the next release of their data to get out there and remap those areas. Because they originally take the city plans, and if the city plans are wrong, then that's why the data is wrong once you guys get them.
Very interesting. I'll let them know about that, too. I hope they update my street on this new map.
Well, yeah, and we're going to check yours and his when we get the new maps. And actually, the maps are out of January of 2007. We're giving you guys the latest ones. We were originally looking at October of 2006. We decided to wait on those and waiting for the latest ones. So you guys are going to ultimately get the latest ones once we release it, hopefully this early this summer.
Okay, Bob and I were just talking about this little thing that we can't figure out how to do. So let's say you want to calculate a route from here to your dentist's office, and you know the address, but you do not know either the zip code or the cross street. So I type in the street, and in this particular example, there are 22 matching streets, and I don't know the zip code or the cross street. How do I get there?
Okay, I could barely hear you. I did hear you, so if you want to answer any more, please bump up your volume. At this point in time, there's not much you can do. We are hoping to, I believe it's even in the buy a feature stuff, that we may be improving the address so you can type in the address first and then the street name so that you don't have to figure out what zip code a street's in for a given address. So I think that is one of the buy a feature things, right, Chris?
I think so, too.
Oh, and hey, Mike, welcome.
Hey, Mike.
So then if you had, for example, 12849 Magnolia Boulevard in Los Angeles, with that new feature enabled, you could put in Los Angeles for the city, Magnolia, and then it would come up with a list of all the matching ones that had 12849 as the number, regardless of whether you put the zip code in?
Right. You'd actually, it would when you entered in the street name, it would be street name and number possibly. We haven't, you know, obviously we haven't done anything yet. We're still waiting on your feedback. But you would put in 1489 Magnolia, and then it would come up with matches for that. And if there's a 1489 Magnolia in zip code X and Y, it'll give you both of those. Or one, let's say it's 1489 Magnolia Boulevard and a 1489 Magnolia Lane, it'll show you those as well. But this is all speculation how it would work. But that's sort of what we were thinking.
Yeah, that sounds great. That's kind of what I was thinking. So you would get a list of all the, like 12849 in Los Angeles. You might get one or two zip codes with that, but that'd be great.
Probably the biggest thing when you're doing an address lookup is, let's say you type in the address number wrong and you want to go back to the street name again, it sort of gets to start the entire process over. And I think this has already been mentioned, but the ability to go back a field.
Actually, that's a good point. Is that in there, Chris, the ability to go back? I'm not sure.
Not sure it is. If it's not, it will be.
For going to the CSUN conference, which map should I put in my Braille note from the L.A. area?
Actually, Bob and Sue should know that one.
Isn't there just one California? Put in all of California.
Yeah, I think California has four maps. So you're going to load up four maps for California.
Yeah, California does have four maps, and I'm pretty sure if you load all four, you'll be safe.
So if you're not in L.A. and you find out you're in San Francisco, you can still have fun.
Well, I have the maps for San Francisco, the Northern California area, loaded, but I don't have the ones from Southern California, and I can download them, but do I need to put all of those in or just some of them?
No, it's just one, and I'm trying to remember which one it is. I think it's one California, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't remember. I know that three is Northern California, four is even further north of California. I believe one is the L.A. area, and two is down in San Diego, I believe.
I just verified it. It is California 1 is the Los Angeles area.
Thanks, Carl. It's good to hear from you. You didn't come through at all, Mike. Sorry.
Just as a fast point, that there is a file on our website, and it's shipped with the CDs, which will tell you which maps, when you're in multiple maps in the state, it will define which cities are contained in that map, or it's vice versa, which map that city is contained in. So it's a very handy tool.
That's what I was trying to say, Carl, with my microphone turned off. It's called Multiple Region City List, and it's for the 10 states that have multiple maps. And you can just go in there and do a word search on the city you're looking for and find out which numbered map it's in.
And also, doesn't if you pick the different California ones, it tells you in the My Downloads a description of what cities are in each map? I thought it did that.
I don't think so.
I don't think it does either.
No, I don't think so either. You know, you can... If you want to really get fancy, you can look at the CTY file. But I'd really suggest to look at the multiple region maps document. It's very easy to use. Like Mike recommended, you can just search on the word and find it very easy.
Okay, thanks.
Any other feedback on the address lookup function?
I'd like to throw out a kind of an interesting point on the maps. They're doing a development behind my house, and all they've done is basically they have the streets and the utilities in. No houses are built. And we're in the process of testing some new maps. But the addresses are already assigned to those lots in our maps. And so I think a lot must depend on how efficient the cities are in reporting changes to the map makers, however that process happens.
It's very quiet out there. Sue, come on. You have some questions, don't you?
To me? Do we know when the next version is coming out and how much it's going to cost?
That's written Mike May all over that one.
Nope.
Okay.
Traditionally, new versions have cost about $100 each, and traditionally they have come out at CSUN or the summer shows. That's pretty typical of all the manufacturers. And we don't expect to have any version announcement for CSUN, so there you go.
So therefore, it's this summer.
That is the goal, especially since we're doing a buy a feature at CSUN. Kind of hard to release a product at CSUN when we are introducing something like that.
Well, I just want to thank you because I think some companies just release things too quickly before they've really done as thorough work as they should. So I really commend you for just taking your time and doing it right. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Are you going to be at the shows, Elaine?
No, I'm feeling sad about that, but no, I can't be there.
You were there last year, weren't you? I remember seeing you.
No, I was at WayFun.
Okay, well, we almost lost her twice getting her there.
Oh, no. Who was guiding? Who was navigating on that one?
Chris, I'm going to get you for that one.
Well, I get to go to CSUN this year.
Very cool. Well, I hope we'll see you in some of our sessions there. Hope you'll sign up there this week. You'll be able to do it online.
Yeah, I just got the registration done, and I haven't signed up for the sessions yet, so that's just now open for that part.
Well, for Sendero, we're going to have our own sessions that you can sign up through the Sendero website sometime this week.
Oh, okay. I was talking about for the CSUN website. Okay. I'll look for it on the Sendero site then.
So, Jim, you there?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm going to be there, I know for sure, on Friday, and I think I'm going to be there on Thursday, too. We got, I'm bringing seven vet this year, as far as I know. I'll be going to the VA tomorrow to check the list and see who's all going, but we encourage most of our vet to go on their own, so therefore they can spend as much time. And I'm surprised there are some locals that are going to spend the night at the Marriott, and so they can get, if they're tired, they're going to go ahead and stay in their room and then refresh and then go back and look again.
Excellent, excellent. And I was asking you on the zip code, I wanted to know more on how you would use it for a address lookup. If you can run me through how you would want the ideal user interface to work on when putting in a zip code to do an address lookup.
What I find very happy, I use my my cell phone and I have text message, so I have the Yahoo and Google telephone. So I click on that, I type in, like I said, Pizza Hut, and then the zip code, or San Francisco, and bingo, it comes up as a point of interest. They give me the address, everything, information that you would get on the yellow page. And then if I decided on my cell phone to use that as a destination, I just go ahead and type in that my address as a designated address to that place, and I'm gone.
Okay, so I see how you would want to use it. Okay, thanks.
As you do it now, there's multiple steps you would have to do. You have to go to your virtual, you'd set it, and then you have to go to the state and then the city and then know the street. And then you come up with a range for, like you said, 1 mile to 20 miles and get from that point on.
Right. Okay. So I can see how we can reduce it a bit to look for zip code points of interest. So that's that's a feature worth putting in our track there, Chris.
Consider it done.
Thank you, sir.
Well, in all honesty, one of the things that I am looking for CSUN is my understanding Chris is going to be there, so I have not had the opportunity to meet him. I met everybody else. But I'm not going to do the limo ride because, I didn't want to disappoint Charles so he can get a champagne this year.
Yeah, really. Mike was in the limo just before us and downed all the champagne before I even got in the limo. I think I'll have to go on the first limo ride. But then again, if the first limo, well, the limo's at 1 p.m., so it's after 12, so that's legal, right, guys?
Oh, yeah, a cocktail at noon. Ask Jerry. He's well qualified.
Just think it'll be 4 o'clock Eastern.
There we go. All right, guys. I like the way you guys think.
Well, you know, I think that's why he comes on. He's Jerry San Antonio, USA, so we all get it right, you know. One of these days, we'll get his address on the map.
All right, guys. Well, I got to run. I got 2 girls that are screaming behind a door that I should probably look in on. Anyway, it's been a great chat session, and some real good ideas came through, and we'll be talking to you next week, because I'm sure we're going to hear some buzz considering what Chris has in store for us on the chat room next week, so stay tuned.
Okay, nice chatting with you, Charles, and thanks for the information, too, and you too, Chris. I have to bail out, too, and give my dog his meal time.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming. We have quite a crowd in here.
Thanks, everybody. So long. Have a good week.
Have a good week.
Good night, everybody, and talk to you next week.